Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply. Everyone deserves to be connected. That's why Cox offers a range of high-speed internet plans that fit any budget. Stream, chat, and stay connected at an incredible price. It's fast, reliable internet for everyone. You're probably thinking, wait, what? But yeah, it's true. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have an interview with Pat Lane. Pat is the co-host of the Pats Nation podcast and a writer for Pat's Pulpit of SB Nation. The Patriots Nation podcast and Pat's Pulpit, both of these media outlets cover New England Patriots content. On the program, we discuss the Patriots game against the Browns. We also discuss the Patriots Monday night game against the Chicago Bears. We also talk Bailey Zappi, Mac Jones, Bill Belichick, and so much more. So Pat is coming up on this edition of the program. Plus, we have your preview of Week 7, and we have Week 7's game pick. So it should be a lot of fun. Again, the NFL season, we're here at Week 7. It's still very early in the NFL season. Things are starting to heat up a little bit, but, you know, it's still early, so it's time for teams to catch up and do what they need to do. But before we get to the interview and segments and things of that nature, we got to start off with the recap of the most important scores from the most important games from Week 6 in the NFL. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Washington Commanders and the Chicago Bears. The Commanders would beat the Bears, final score 12-7. The New York Giants beat the Baltimore Ravens 24-20. The Cincinnati Bengals would go on to beat the New Orleans Saints, final score 30-26. The New York Jets beat the Green Bay Packers 27-10. The Arizona Cardinals would lose to the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks would beat the Cardinals 19-9. What a thrilling game it was at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Buffalo Bills would win 24-20. Sunday night football between the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles would go on to beat the Cowboys 26-17. And in overtime in Monday night football, the Los Angeles Chargers would go on to beat the Denver Broncos. Final score, 19-16. And those were your scores from the most important games from Week 6 in the National Football League. All right, I'd like to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles are currently the only undefeated team left in the National Football League. Yes, the team is currently 6-0. They are currently riding a high right now. I want to talk about these receivers for a moment. You talk about a talented crew with the likes of Devontae Smith, also Quez Watkins, A.J. Brown, what a steal he was on draft night. And then also Dallas Goedert, who has become a security blanket for Jalen Hurts. At the running back position, you've got Miles Sanders. Also, you've got Kenneth Gainwell, who's been running the ball very well. How about the offensive line? Offensive line has been very productive, of course, with the leader of that pack with Jason Kelce. Defensively, Philly's been playing solid. Of course, Fletcher Cox has been a proven veteran season in and season out. Also, Brandon Graham, Javon Hargrave, also Josh Sweat has played well as well. Also, you've got Hassan Reddick playing nicely, and N'Kobe Dean's played well as well. And, of course, the defensive backs, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, what a steal he was from the New Orleans Saints. Of course, Darius Big Play Slay. And how about the quarterback play of Jalen Hurts? If we're talking about MVP candidates very early in the NFL season, you have to put Jalen Hurts right at the top. Jalen is a true dual-threat quarterback. Not only can he get it done throwing the ball, he can also get it done by running as well. And Jalen is perfect for that franchise, and he's perfect for the city of Philadelphia. Right now, everything seems to be going Philly's way right now, as they're in a bye week this week. But when they come back from the bye week, they have a game. The next several games will be Pittsburgh, followed by Washington, at Indianapolis, and then against Green Bay. So everything is on the up and up right now for the Eagles. I mean, they can't go wrong right now. Jalen Hurts and the rest of the Philadelphia Eagles. And give much props to the head coach, Nick Sirianni, an early candidate for the Head Coach of the Year award. Definitely exciting times in Philadelphia right now, not just with the Eagles, but with their sports franchises as well. My next storyline is going to be the New York Giants and the New York Jets. How about the Giants and the Jets? Giants on a roll right now, currently holding a nice record of 5-1 currently as this show is airing, second in the NFC East. Daniel Jones playing nicely. Other wide receivers have played well with the likes of Kenny Golladay, also Ricky James. Can't forget about Wandell Robinson. How about Saquon Barkley, the final year of his rookie contract? Definitely, he's playing for a new deal, a massive deal, and he is so important to the G-men. And on the defensive side, the rookie, Kayvon Thibodeau, he's been balling so far this year. Of course, Adoree Jackson, one of the defensive backs. How about Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams on the defensive line? The Giants have caught a lot of us by surprise. They caught me by surprise and said, the New York Giants, okay, let's see what they've got for this 2022 season. Well, so far at 5-1, and give a lot of credit. I talked about Sirianni from the Philadelphia Eagles being a possible head coach of the year candidate. Add Brian Daboll to the list as well for the New York Giants. Again, the Giants currently sit at 5-1. The next two games that they have are going to be at Jacksonville and then at Seattle. And then after the bye week will be Houston, Detroit, and then, of course, there's the Thanksgiving game at Dallas against the Cowboys. So, man, this is going to be – everything is right now is in the Giants' favor right now. They've got an opportunity to continue on a hot winning streak. I know the NFL doesn't just stand for the National Football League, but it also stands for not for long, and not for long will you be the hottest team. But right now, the Giants have the hot hand, and also the other team in New York, they have the hot hand as well. The New York Jets. The New York Jets have been balling as of so far in this early part of the NFL season. They lost to Baltimore. They win a close one in week two to Cleveland. They lose a close one in week three to Cincinnati. Then they get on a three-game winning streak, beating Pittsburgh, Miami, and with the recent upset victory over the Green Bay Packers. Wilson has been effective since he's come back from injury. How about Breece Hall? Breece Hall right now is an early candidate for League Rookie of the Year. He's been playing effective. How about Denzel Mims? Denzel Mims has been nice. Also Elijah Moore, Braxton Berrios, and Corey Davis have been pretty consistent. How about the tight end position with Tyler Conklin and also C.J. Uzama? They've been pretty consistent so far this year for the New York Jets. And how about Garrett Wilson, the rookie out of Ohio State? Garrett has been effective as well. How about the defensive linemen with John Franklin Myers and Jermaine Johnson and also Carl Lawson? Can't forget about Solomon Thomas and also Quinnen Williams as well. Quan Alexander has been effective along with C.J. Mosley. And, of course, Sauce Gardner has been effective so far in his rookie year. Hey, give a lot of credit to Robert Saleh. If the Jets continue to be pretty consistent for most of the year, you got to put Robert Saleh in the mix as well for a possible head coach of the year candidate. Should definitely get some strong consideration as a candidate for the head coach of the year award. So the Jets' next three games are at Denver, followed by New England, Buffalo, there's the bye week, and then they're at New England, and then you've got Chicago, and then at Minnesota. So this is definitely winnable. It's winnable it's very feasible that the Jets can remain on a great winning streak, but it's like I mentioned earlier, in other sports, when one New York team is winning, it's great. When you have another New York team winning, it is even better, and football is no exception to the rule with the Giants and the Jets. And for my last storyline is going to be the Denver Broncos. What in the world has gone wrong in Denver? Russell Wilson doesn't look like himself. Nathaniel Hackett, I don't know what he's doing as the head coach of the Denver Broncos. everything is just in disarray right now. If there's any, I guess, good news out of this is that, number one, their record is 2-4. And also, number two, they're currently playing in the AFC West. Kansas City is currently the top dog right now in that division. The Chargers are so-so. The Raiders are still trying to figure it out. So Denver has a chance, but they have a very slim chance right now. I think for all intents and purposes, let's look at it. Nathaniel Hackett was the former offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers for 3 seasons. Aaron Rodgers was the one that vouched for Nathaniel Hackett, was saying that, oh, yeah, well, Nathaniel makes me feel at ease at practice. He makes me feel really good, and I'm just, you know, I would strongly recommend him for a head coaching job in the future. Well, the Denver Broncos hired Hackett in the hopes that they would lure Aaron Rodgers to Denver in the offseason. Well, that didn't work out. Rodgers signs the contract extension with the Packers, and Russell Wilson is on the move. He wants out of Seattle, and the Denver Broncos wind up making a move and get Russell in this big trade. So basically, this is how it worked from this situation. The Denver Broncos wanted Aaron Rodgers, but they didn't get him. And instead, they had to settle for a Russell Wilson, and the results aren't looking good right now at all. Wilson, if you know Russell Wilson's game, you know that he's better when he's throwing on the run. Clearly, the plays that Hackett is calling is ridiculous. Wilson is staying in the pocket, and you know Russell Wilson's not a pocket passer. He is a guy that is so effective when he's throwing on the run. Wilson's only 5'10", and clearly he cannot see when he's standing in the pocket. So when he escapes the pocket and either has his feet set or when he's throwing on the run or using his legs, that's when he is so effective. And unfortunately, we haven't seen much of that this year. We saw glimpses of it. We saw Russell cooking a little bit in the Monday night game last week against the Chargers. But let's just say Russell hasn't been cooking so far this year. He's been doing Uber Eats and DoorDash and also Grubhub as well. But I don't know. Aaron Rodgers was the person that they wanted. Instead, they had to settle for Russell Wilson. And let's just be honest, the Broncos didn't want him neither, but they had to settle for him because he was the available high-profile quarterback in the hopes that with them hopefully landing head coach Nathaniel Hackett, that they would be able to bait Aaron Rodgers into Denver. That didn't happen. They had to settle for Russell Wilson. 2-4. Not good at all. And then also on top of that, the play calling's been atrocious. Instead of having – you've got – listen, in the overtime period, Latavius Murray on the first two downs got you some really good yardage. On a 3rd-and-1, instead of handing the ball to Murray, you throw it on a 3rd-and-1, and it's an incomplete pass. And then you let the Chargers get down the field, and you had a kicker that was battling, I believe, a hamstring injury or something like that, make the game-winning field goal. And let's give credit to Denver's defense. Denver's defense is currently top 10 in the National Football League. Denver's defense is on point right now. No. Not good at all. It's got to get better. Russell Wilson, I don't know. I don't know. Nathaniel Hackett, this is atrocious. It's not good at all. It's terrible. It's atrocious. They've got to get things done in a hurry because when you're playing in a tough conference like the AFC, you have to be on point. I mean, just the AFC West alone with Mahomes, with Patrick Mahomes and Derek Carr, and also when you're dealing with a Justin Herbert, just the AFC West alone is tough. Just dealing with the NFL is tough. They got to get it together, my man. They've got to get this situation quick, fast, in a hurry, because if they don't, it's going to be bad. It's not going to be good. And let's just say Russell won't be cooking. Russell won't even be boiling water, because that is just horrible right now. And I know Russell Wilson can do better because he's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch, but it's no excuse, especially when you have Bronco fans booing you at home games like what happened at the Thursday night football game just over 2 weeks ago. They got to get it. They've got to be better with this, and they got to get it fixed in a hurry, because Denver, just not just the Broncos franchise, but that city of Denver, they love football. It's a proud fan base, and they've got to get it together. All right, that takes care of segment number one. Before we go to break, trade news. The Carolina Panthers have traded Robbie Anderson to the Arizona Cardinals for several draft picks. So the Carolina Panthers will get draft picks, while the Arizona Cardinals will receive Robbie Anderson. And that's big, because the Cardinals, now they have Robbie Anderson along with DeAndre Hopkins, who's going to be returning from the league suspension in time for the Thursday night game against New Orleans. And, of course, if you saw the little squabble that Robbie had with his wide receivers coach, and it was not good at all if you had an opportunity to watch that. And it was so bad, it was to the point that interim head coach Steve Wilks had asked Anderson to leave and go to the locker room, where he was done for the day. So Robbie Anderson's career is over with in Carolina. He gets a fresh start out on the West Coast as a wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. And also, starting in 2023, there will be, the NFL will have a game on Black Friday. That's correct. Starting in the 2023 season, the NFL will have a game on Black Friday. The game will be broadcast on Amazon Prime. Kickoff will be at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central Time. And the teams that will play in the Black Friday game will be announced next year when the 2023 NFL schedule is announced. So again, the NFL has announced that there will be a game played on Black Friday starting November of 2023, and the game will be broadcast on Amazon Prime, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central Time. And again, the teams that will play in next year's Black Friday game will be announced when the schedule is released next year in 2023. Break, I have an interview with Pat Lane. Pat is the co-host of the Patriot Nation podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering the NFL's New England Patriots. He is also a writer for Pat's Pulpit, which is a website powered by SB Nation. The website provides the latest in New England Patriots content. We discussed the Patriots' win over the Cleveland Browns. Also, the Patriots' Monday night game coming up against the Chicago Bears. Also, we talked Bailey Zappe, Mac Jones, Bill Belichick, and so much more. Pat is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply. Usually you can pick a lot, a little, or somewhere in the middle. And then that's it. Small does not grow. And large you can't whittle. But now there's an internet plan that's clever. It allows you to add TV or home automation whenever. Get a flexible internet plan from Cox for all the services you desire and nothing you don't require. Additional services can be added at then current regular rates. All services subject to residential customer service agreement and acceptable use policy found at cox.com/policies. Restrictions apply.
By now, you've probably seen ads about water contamination at Camp Lejeune everywhere on TV, social media, and probably even following you around on the internet. The water at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune was contaminated with toxic chemicals for more than 3 decades. It is not rare for people who drank this water for an extended period of time to develop severe illness, including kidney cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, liver cancer, bladder cancer, birth defects, Parkinson's, and more. A new law called the PACT Act allows victims of poisoned water to seek repayment for their medical costs. What those other ads don't tell you is that because the PACT Act is a fresh law, it is important to find an attorney who understands the new claims forms. There is limited time to file your Camp Lejeune claim, so you need a lawyer who can get it right the first time. The experienced team of attorneys at sickmarine.com is ready to file your claim. They will fight for you and won't take no for an answer. To file your claim and to have your case prioritized, sign up at sickmarine.com.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. Working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
By now, you've probably seen ads about water contamination at Camp Lejeune everywhere on TV, social media, and probably even following you around on the internet. The water at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune was contaminated with toxic chemicals for more than 3 decades. It is not rare for people who drank this water for an extended period of time to develop severe illness, including kidney cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, liver cancer, bladder cancer, birth defects, Parkinson's, and more. A new law called the PACT Act allows victims of poisoned water to seek repayment for their medical costs. What those other ads don't tell you is that because the PACT Act is a fresh law, it is important to find an attorney who understands the new claims forms. There is limited time to file your Camp Lejeune claim, so you need a lawyer who can get it right the first time. The experienced team of attorneys at sickmarine.com is ready to file your claim. They will fight for you and won't take no for an answer. To file your claim and to have your case prioritized, sign up at sickmarine.com.
Sunday on TV One.
Fame was a bit of a trick bag.
It's an all-new episode of Unsung.
She was like, I'm coming to get you. And I said, okay, Mom, I'm coming home.
Followed by an all-new Uncensored.
I had to figure out how to move on.
I've been shot at so many times. Bullets do a whistle when they go by you.
The people you know, the stories you don't. This Sunday, don't miss an all-new Unsung at 9, 8 Central, followed by an all-new Uncensored at 10, 9 Central on TV One.
Where can you plant Pioneer brand Qrome products for top yield potential under corn rootworm pressure? Just about everywhere. With a more extensive lineup than ever before for corn, Pioneer brand Qrome products are field proven and ready for yours.
When Shopify says you can sell anywhere, they mean it. Woo, hold up. Just got a new sale, order fulfilled and shipped. Inventory level's good. Whoa, Shopify doesn't mind if you're at sea level. Or on top of the world! You can run and grow your business anywhere. Climbing mountains is never easy, but at least Shopify gives me all the tools I need for my business to hit new beats!
Whether you're selling carabiners or crop tops, start selling with Shopify today and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. We've built the platform so you can keep climbing and grow your business to new heights.
With Shopify, you really can sell to anyone, from anywhere.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Start selling online today. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. 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 Internet connection required. Not available on mountaintops or seafloors.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Welcome back to Good News. Today's top story. Domino's is introducing molten chocolate lava cakes and 32-piece oven-baked Parmesan bread bites to their mix-and-match deal for $5.99 each when you carry out. In other delightful news, Jessica Marino's sleepover is having Domino's for dinner. Woo-hoo! Carry out two or more mix-and-match items for $5.99 each, only at Domino's.
Ask for this carry-out offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary. Two-item minimum bread bowl, pasta, and pan pizza will cost extra. Local stores may charge extra for some menu items, crust types, toppings, and sauces.
On the move. Zappi's got the ball. Cannon the block. Touchdown! Caught in the back right there. A 2-yard grab by the rookie, Tyquan Thornton. Third and one. And he's right on the screws, and here they go. And that is a touchdown. Hunter Henry, wide open.
All right,
right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the NFL, the National Football League, and CBS Sports. Kevin Harlan on the call of the game between the New England Patriots and the Cleveland Browns. Of course, the Patriots would go on to beat the Browns, final score 38-15 from October the 16th of 2022. To talk more about the Patriots' win over the Browns, including the Patriots' next game, which is a big Monday night game against the Chicago Bears, and also some other things happening with New England, we want to welcome him back to the program. He is the co-host of the Patriots Nation podcast, which is a podcast dedicated to all things related to the New England Patriots, and he's also a writer for Pat's Pulpit, which is the website powered by SB Nation, which gives you daily information and content related to the New England Patriots. Let's welcome him back to the program, Pat Lane. Hey, Pat, welcome back to the program, my man.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
No problem. All is well. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So give me your takeaways from the Patriots' win over the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, it looked great, right? It looked great. You know, one of the big things and my biggest concern going into the game was Cleveland's running game. And the Patriots did a really nice job of slowing it down and really kind of neutralizing it. I think that they were assisted by the Browns coaching staff, who I think did a horrendous job. You know, they ran the ball, I think, three or four times the entire second half, which makes zero sense. I mean, I know they were losing, but it was, you know, it was a fairly close game in the third quarter, and they just got away from the run. So, but hey, they did enough defensively and slowed that run game down. And then offensively, you know, you saw what Bailey Zappe did, and he played some of the clips there. I mean, you know, he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good getting the ball out and getting the ball to open receivers. I think that a lot of people were questioning the offensive coaching staff coming into the season, you know, with Matty P and Joe Judge there. And I think that, you know, they really got a long way to kind of silence some of those critics, you know, and we'll kind of see. I'm sure we'll get into, you know, the quarterback situation. But, you know, you can't ask a rookie fourth-round pick to play any better than he played on Sunday against the Browns. So that's really all you can ask for. And they come out with what ended up being a pretty lopsided victory.
Yeah, you're right about that. We'll get into more of the quarterback situation in just a moment. I want to talk more about the offense for a moment. I want to start off with New England's running game. It hasn't been a strong suit so far this year, but Ramondre Stevenson, he's been one of the kind of the few bright spots for New England on the offensive side. He had 19 carries for 76 yards and two rushing touchdowns. Give me your thoughts on Ramondre and his performance against Cleveland.
Well, you know, he's shown to be, I think, a very solid back. And, of course, you know, Damian Harris, who they have, is also a very solid back, missed this game with a hamstring injury. They had originally said that he was going to be out multiple weeks. And he kind of was limited participant in practice, was on the field before trying to give it a go. So he obviously wasn't ready to go, but he might be back a lot sooner than people expect. This is a running attack that I think is a very good running attack. It took a few weeks to kind of get going. They're doing a little bit of different stuff with some zone running instead of power running, which has kind of been their MO the last few years. And so it's taken a few weeks to kind of figure it all out. But these last 2 weeks by Ramondre have been very impressive. He's a tough runner. He's a hard guy to bring down, and he has real breakaway speed. So I think Ramondre has shown a really, you know, a great deal for this team. And then Damian Harris, the guy who's, you know, his end of his contract is coming up, and he's a solid running back too. So I think they really have a nice, a really good complement of backs there. And, of course, you get the two rookies in Strong and Harris who didn't really – I mean, they played a little bit on Sunday, but they haven't really played much this year. So we'll see what you get out of them. But those top two backs, I think, are pretty solid.
All right, let's talk now about the receiving core. Devontae Parker. Devontae's been playing pretty effectively so far for New England this year. In this game, he had four catches for 64 yards. Give me your thoughts on Devontae and his play.
He's a guy that started out really slow. Mac Jones, I think, was picked off three times while targeting him. Didn't really fight through the contacts in some of those, but you really kind of hoped that he would have. One of them wasn't really on him, but either way, you know, it's one of those things that, like, you know, you hope to kind of see more from him. And I think they're running some different routes from scoring a touchdown against Green Bay a few weeks ago. Had a really nice back shoulder catch in this week's game. So you really kind of starting to see him come into his own and, you know, not make him make those 50-50 catches, right? He doesn't have to just be that, right? He's a pretty good route runner across the middle. He's a big guy, big physical, strong guy. So having him run those routes, I think, is effective. That's how he scored against Green Bay. So I think that, you know, seeing him, I think I've seen a huge improvement out of him in the last few weeks, which has been good. You know, a little bit less one-dimensional the last few weeks than they kind of were at the beginning of the season. So I've been happy and pleasantly surprised with what I've seen from him recently.
All right, I want to talk now about wide receiver Jacoby Myers. In this game, he had four catches for 60 yards in the game against the Browns. Just give me your thoughts on Jacoby and his play against the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best receiver on the Patriots. He's the best receiver on the team. He's a guy who's consistently open. He you know, finds a way to create separation against pretty much anyone who covers him. And, you know, just does a great job of getting open and being reliable. He's always making a catch. He's always making a block. He's always doing the right thing. He's the best receiver on the team. And so, you know, he may not be the quote-unquote number one receiver that people are looking for, but he's the guy that is, if you need something, you go in as Jacoby because he's going to be able to make a play for you.
All right. And Tyquan Thornton, four catches for 37 yards, and he had a touchdown in his game against the Browns. Just give me your thoughts on Tyquan and his play. And he also had a rushing touchdown, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you can't teach speed. You cannot teach speed. And so, you know, you saw it in the jet sweep how fast he is. Just able to get to that edge so quickly that those guys are running in slow motion. He's running so fast by them. And, you know, but the one thing that's interesting about him is that he does bring that speed, but the short quickness and the ability to get off the line and press, I mean, his touchdown was a low red zone catch. It was a, you know, 3-4 yard touchdown catch. And so the ability to separate in the low red zone like that, not all these speed guys can do that, and especially as rookies, the ability to get off the press, you know, that's press coverage down at the line, the ability to get off of press coverage and get yourself open in the back of the end zone, you know, where you don't have a lot of room to work with, and then get down and make the catch, it was impressive. It was impressive. And so, you know, at some point, he's been hitting some, you know, he's been getting open deep as well. At some point, we're going to hit, you know, you're going to see a 60, 70-yard touchdown bomb with Tyquan Thornton, too, because he's able to create separation so easily. But I've been really impressed with the route running and the ability to create separation even in small areas. That part of it, I think, people didn't necessarily expect, and it's been a real pleasant surprise, I think, for the Patriots.
All right, and there's a tight end for the Patriots who did well in this game, and that's Jonnu Smith. Two catches for 61 yards in this game. Give me your thoughts on his play.
Yeah, Jonnu's a guy, they finally ran the seam route to him, and Zappe kind of didn't have the best ball placement on that pass to him, but the interesting thing and the ironic thing about that is that the bad ball placement makes Jonnu jump up for the ball, and then the tackler is kind of a little bit off angle, and so he misses the tackle, and Jonnu breaks it for like a nice 53-yard gain. So, you know, you see that from Jonnu, which is great. You like to see him get more involved. I'd like to see more seam routes from Jonnu because he has that ability. And I think that what we've seen from him is the yard after catch. That's the big thing that he's been able to bring to the table. And he did that again on Sunday. But, you know, let's let him run some of those seam routes and use some of that athleticism even before the catch to get him open, and then you catch it down the seam, break one tackle, and you know, you see what happens on a play like that. So I liked what I saw from him, and he's been working his way back into the fold after being basically useless last year.
All right, and I want to stay just with tight ends for a moment. You know, the NFL has its share of some great tight ends with the likes of Travis Kelce, George Kittle, and you can also add Hunter Henry to the list as well for New England. Hunter Henry had four catches for 61 yards and a touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Hunter and his play.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen Hunter the last few weeks now, kind of back to what he was last year. Had 9 touchdown catches last year. Was really, you know, their most, outside of Jacoby, their most reliable receiver last season. And you've seen some of that. And he did mention after the game that he had shoulder surgery at the end of the year last year, and it's kind of been working his way back up. And so seems like that might have been an issue and reason why he fell off at the end of last year and wasn't quite back up to speed at the beginning of the year this year. But he's back up to speed, and that's a good thing for the Patriots because he is a weapon in the offensive game when he's at full strength, and he should continue to be so.
All right, and I want to move along to the other side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball for New England. And last time I talked to you, Pat, you mentioned about Kyle Duggar and how Kyle has definitely become one of the premier players on the defensive side for New England, not just for New England, but really in the NFL. He led the team in tackles. He had interception. Just give me your thoughts on Kyle and his play.
Yeah, Duggar is slowly becoming one of those really good safeties, and kind of like a Jamal Adams type player where he's not the best player in coverage, although his coverage is getting significantly better, I think. He's not the best player in coverage, but he has the athleticism to play everywhere. He does a nice job in coverage for the most part. But where he really excels is in the run game and coming downhill. His open field tackling is fantastic. He really, really brings it when, you know, there's an opposing ball carrier anywhere near him. He brings them down, and he hits extremely hard. And so he's a guy that is really kind of becoming one of those cornerstone pieces for the Patriots, in his third season now, kind of taking that leap this year that people were hoping to see. So he's definitely becoming one of those cornerstone players for the Patriots.
All right, and speaking of a cornerstone player, he's been – with the organization for quite a while now, and that's outside linebacker Matthew Judon. He had four tackles in this game. Give me your thoughts on Matthew and his play.
Yeah, I mean, Judon just continues to be that player, right? He, you know, was in the defensive player of the year running, I would say, early year last year. And then, you know, this year he already got six sacks and didn't have a sack in this year, in this game. First game he didn't have a sack in, but he was a force. He did force some pressures as well, but he was a force in the running game this week, more so than I think a lot of people expected, and more so than we've seen from him in games. And so I was really impressed with his ability to play the run, to set the edge when he had to, but not just set the edge, to make some plays in the backfield too. So I was impressed with Judon, and if he can play this way, and I think what they've done with him this year, trying to prevent what happened last year, which is him kind of, you know, not being 100% at the end of the year and being worn down at the end of the year. They've mixed it up a little bit so he's not playing every single snap at the beginning of the year this year. I think it's really helped him out. But he was fantastic on Sunday. Even if the stats don't necessarily show up, he was phenomenal for them on Sunday and huge in the run game as well as in the pass game.
All right, I want to move along now to someone with Super Bowl experience, and that's former Eagles defensive back Jalen Mills. In his game, he had three tackles and an interception. Just give me your thoughts on Jalen's play against Cleveland.
Yeah, Mills, the same thing, right? You look at Mills, and he's a guy that last year, the Patriots signed him last year, and people said, this guy sucks. Like, he stinks. And, you know, Eagles fans were saying, this guy, you can't cover anyone. And, you know, he comes out last year and played extremely well. And then is following it up this year with another solid performance this year. And, you know, he's a guy that he may not be the number one corner on the team. And you've seen kind of Jack Jones, even as a rookie, kind of really make some nice plays. And Jonathan Jones, I think, might be their best corner. But Jalen Mills is consistent. He's always around. He's always competing. He's a physical guy. And, you know, Mills is a guy that I think has done a really nice job for the Patriots and given them some stability at that cornerback position. When they really didn't have a ton going into this year, Mills has been kind of that reliable guy all the way through. And he missed the game, but, you know, he's been that reliable guy all the way through. And so even though they didn't have Jonathan Jones last week, they were still able to get by because Jalen Mills played so well against Amari Cooper.
The last time I had you on the program, Pat, you mentioned another gentleman that plays on the defensive line, Dietrich Wise Jr. In this game, he had three tackles and one sack. Give me your thoughts on Dietrich and his play against the Browns.
Yeah, another guy, right? Wise is a guy that he really kind of struggled early in his career, kind of looked like a guy that was like, he's fine, but he's not that good. And you hoped he'd be a little bit better than what you saw out of him. But I will say he has taken a big step forward in the last few years. think that he's really become one of those guys that, again, is like a cornerstone type of player for the Patriots, where you look at this guy, he's a reliable player, right? Now, he's not going to be – he's never going to be their best defensive lineman. He's never going to be their best pass rusher. He's never going to be their best player, but he's a reliable player for them that plays game in and game out. And, again, he's another guy that has stepped his game up, not just in the pass game, but also in the running game, and that really helped them out a lot because, again, they were playing now. Sometimes they were playing in their nickel and still stopping, you know, the Browns' running attack, which is a fantastic running attack. And so guys like Judon and Wise really stepped up their game this week against the run as well as against the pass.
All right, and then that takes care of the offensive and defensive side for New England. You mentioned the quarterback position, and we got to, you know, the NFL is a quarterback's league, so you got to talk about Bailey Zappe. In this game, completed 24 out of 34 passes for 309 yards and two touchdown passes. Give me your thoughts on Bailey's play in, against the Browns.
I mean, listen, Zappe's a guy that, you know, for the Patriots-wise, you look at him and say, all right, he's a rookie fourth-round pick. You know, you really don't – there's really not a ton you can ask. There's really not a ton more you can ask out of him than what he's given you so far. To be able to, you know, to attempt 34 passes against the Browns. Now, the Browns weren't a very good defense, okay? Let's, I mean, you know, we don't have to talk about the Browns being the 85 Bears or anything like that. But it's still hard to win games in the NFL. It's still hard to play quarterback in the NFL. And as a rookie fourth-round pick, you know, I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him. Now, I don't think he's done enough to take Mac Jones' job, but the Patriots now are confident and comfortable with their backup quarterback. If something were to happen to Mac Jones or if he's out longer than the, you know, I think they're pretty confident that Zappe can at least give them competent quarterback play. That's, I think, what you've seen from him is that, you know, at some point it's hard to get even competent play, and they've been getting that from Bailey Zappe. And so that's really all you can ask for at this point.
You mentioned his name, Mac Jones. Of course, was the starting quarterback last year and was the starting quarterback for the first couple of games of this season before coming down with an injury. What's the status on his ankle, and how long will it be before we see him starting again for the Patriots?
Now, the word was it was kind of a last-minute decision for him, you know, a game-time decision for him to play or not on Sunday. If that's the case, you would think that he's going to be ready to play on Monday. That doesn't necessarily mean he will be ready to play on Monday. But you would think, if that was the case, that he should be ready to play on Monday. But it just depends on how that ankle responds. You know, it just depends on what you have. And I don't think you should rush Mac back anyways if you think that he's the future of the team. But now, with Zappe playing so well, you have even less reason to rush him back because you feel like you have a guy behind him that can play well while Mac isn't there. And so, you know, yeah, if he's healthy, I still think he's a starting quarterback. The question is he healthy? I'm not sure. And so we're going to have to see. It does seem like he'll play Monday night. There's no guarantee that that's going to happen. And, you know, if Zappe continues to play the way he's playing the next few games, well, then you might start having a conversation about, you know, do we even want Mac Jones to come back in? We're not at that point yet. We're not. But if, you know, if he happens to sit out two more games and Zappe has two solid games again, well, now we might be getting closer to that point if that's the case.
I want to stay with this quarterback situation in New England. Do you think Mac Jones is the long-term answer? Do you think he can be the franchise quarterback in New England? Or, like you said, by the way, Bailey Zappe has played, maybe there's a change. There could be a changing of the guard, and maybe Bailey Zappe may be the one. What do you think about Mac Jones, and is he the long-term answer at the quarterback position for New England?
So I personally think that Mac is, and the reason why is because what he showed last year, what I saw from Mac Jones last year, it was more about not just the way he played on the field, but the way he approached the game. And, you know, the way that he never let mistakes define his game and define a game. And the biggest example for me is the Cowboys game. The Cowboys game, they're up by 4 points, and you're just thinking – they're up by, I'm sorry, 3 points, and you're just thinking, just don't – just pick up a first down or two and you're fine. And he throws a pick six to you know, to Trayvon Diggs, and you're like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you can't. That's just you throw a pick six to Diggs, and you're thinking, like, this is brutal. Now you're losing by 4 points. There's 2 minutes left to go in the game. You're a rookie, and it's, you know, 425 games, a big game, like, whatever, right? Well, what does he do? The very next play, he comes back and throws it to the same exact receiver with the same player in coverage, and it's a 75-yard touchdown pass. To have the confidence to be able to do that again, I think, was incredibly impressive. I think he's an incredibly hard worker. I think the players all like him. I do think that he's still got some flaws in his game. He has some flaws in his game. I think if you go back and you look at Brady's 2002 season, Brady did very similar things at the beginning of 2002, which was his second year starting at the beginning of that year, and then was able to clean it up by the end of the year. And so I think you're seeing a similar thing from Mac Jones that you saw from Tom Brady as far as struggles at the beginning of 2002. Now, Brady didn't go down with an injury, and his rookie, you know, the rookie quarterback didn't come in and play well in his stead, but I don't necessarily think that we're looking at a changing the guard yet. I still do believe in Mac Jones. Now, Mac Jones comes out and has 3 or 4 bad games in a row and looks lost out there and isn't running the offense the way that Zappi's been running the offense the last few games. Okay, well, again, now we can have that conversation of, is Zappi the guy to run this offense or can run this offense better than Mac Jones, and is Mac Jones the guy that we thought he was last year? We can have that conversation in a few weeks if that's the case. But I think we're at least a few weeks away from that. And again, that would mean Mac Jones comes back and plays poorly, which I don't necessarily expect, but suppose you never know.
All right. And one thing we do know for sure is that we've seen the consistency of some great head coaches in the NFL with the likes of Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin. And also you can add Bill Belichick to the list and what he's done in his career, particularly in New England. So this 2022 season for Bill, it's had its ups and its downs. How would you rate Coach Belichick's coaching performance so far this year?
I mean, I think he's been very good. I mean, you lose your starting quarterback. You go into Lambeau with your backup quarterback. Your backup quarterback goes down. Your third-string quarterback, who's never even dressed for an NFL game, goes into Lambeau Field and plays, and you have a shot to win that game in overtime. And, of course, you can't close the deal, but still a good game. Then you go home, right, and you win a game at home against the Lions, and you blow out the Lions, absolutely blow them out. And then, of course, you end up blowing out the Browns last weekend. I just think what he's been able to do with this team, and then you look at the rookies that they've brought in and the success that they've had with Cole Strange and the success they've had with Jack Jones, and now Tyquan Thornton looked extremely good this weekend, and Marcus Jones looked good returning punts and playing defense. And so now you start – and, of course, Billy Zappi is a rookie too. So you start looking at the rookie class and thinking, like, yeah, they've started to bring some of this stuff back in, right? And the defense, Belichick, he just keeps them in the game. Every single time he keeps them in the game. Of course, he tied George Halas with career wins on Sunday against the Browns, and he has a chance to break Halas's record and move into sole position of second place against Halas's Bears on Monday night, which is a pretty cool thing.
I want to stay with Coach Belichick for a moment. I want to ask you, how long do you think Coach Belichick will be coaching in the NFL? Again, we've seen the longevity with Andy Reid and, of course, with Mike Tomlin specifically being the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. How long do you see Coach Belichick coaching in the NFL?
I would say until he at least gets 24 more wins. 20, right now, 23 wins away from Don Shula for the most wins ever as a head coach. I would think he wants that record. I think he deserves that record. I think Don Shula had a lot of really negative things to say about the Patriots towards the end of his life, and I think that that's something that might fuel Belichick a little bit, that he wants to pass him. And we all know that Bill Belichick is a historian of the game. He loves the history of the game. He loves records like that. And so, of course, you would think that he would want that record to himself as well. And so I would say however long it takes him to get those 24 more wins is how long. I would assume that I would take this year and the next 2 years after that. I would think that we'll be getting at least that from him in this situation. And so that puts him to, what, 2024 season, and then maybe even the 2025 season. But I would think at least 2 or 3 more years after this year.
I want to stay with Belichick again for a moment. We know that his relationship with the owner of the team, Robert Kraft, has been a very good one. What's their relationship like? Is it still solid? Is it still tight? Is it still tight as it's ever been?
I think so. I mean, you know, one of the things that I think is interesting is that you hear Kraft, right, kind of say, hey, we haven't won a playoff game now in 3 years, right? And that's unacceptable because we want to win playoff games, right? And he's talked about the draft classes not being up to par that they wanted to be. And I think Kraft, although he stays out, and he does still stay out of personnel decisions, I think that he is taking a little bit more of a critical look at it. And I think part of that reason is because Belichick is the one that wanted to move on from Tom Brady. I think Kraft probably didn't want to move on from Tom Brady. And Belichick said, well, like, this is what we're doing. This is what's best for the football team. And now Kraft is saying, well, Tom already won a Super Bowl. Like, we could be having success without Tom, and I want to make sure that we're still on the right track here. And so you're seeing that come out from Kraft. Now, does that mean that there's a rift between them? No, I don't believe that. But I do think that it's kind of like, hey, let's just make sure that we're all on the same page and we're all working together well and effectively. And I think, again, Kraft stays out of the football stuff. He stays out of it, but he is the owner, and he's an owner that wants to win. He doesn't want to just own the team and make money. He wants to win football games too. And so, you know, he put some pressure on Kraft on for doing that, and I think Belichick has responded by having now, you know, 2 very solid drafts in a row. And, you know, winning a bunch of games with a rookie quarterback last year, and then, you know, playing with the second-year quarterback this year, and now winning back-to-back games with the rookie quarterback again this year. So I think he's shown how good he is. I think Kraft knows how good he is. And Belichick is a guy that, as far as Kraft is concerned, is going to retire the coach of the Patriots. He's earned his right to do whatever he wants, but I would imagine that Kraft – wants to keep him around for as long as he will be the head coach. And so I think their relationship is just fine. I know he wasn't at Kraft's wedding, but I have to think that that has something to do with football more so than him not wanting to be there for Mr. Kraft.
All right, fair enough. And then while the Patriots are certainly on a hot streak right now, they'll continue to be on a hot streak as they'll take on the Chicago Bears at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts on Monday Night Football. So as I mentioned, that New England is starting to get on a hot streak. Chicago, not on a hot streak. They're having their problems. Of course, Matt Eberflus, tough first year so far as the head coach of the Bears. Let's start off with New England's defense, Pat. We know that Chicago has a dual-threat quarterback with Justin Fields, and he's really all they really have on the offensive side. I mean, Khalil Herbert and David Montgomery, they're serviceable in the running department. Give me your keys to victory, the New England Patriots defense, to stop Justin Fields and the Bears offense.
I mean, very frankly, they don't throw the ball. They can't, I don't know if they can't throw the ball or they just choose not to throw the ball, but they can't throw it. And so if you can stop their running game, they can't score points. I mean, they can barely score points as it is. If you cannot allow them to run, I mean, it shouldn't be close, to be honest with you. That to me is the biggest thing. You know, control the running game, keep Fields in the pocket, right? Don't allow him to run. You don't want Fields running around on you. You want to be able to control him because that's really going to be the only source of offense. The only source of real offense they're going to have is him breaking a long touchdown run or something like that. So if you can control Justin Fields and keep him in the pocket – and slow that running game down of Montgomery and Herbert, they can't score many points against you. And really, they haven't shown the ability to really score any points against anyone.
All right, let's move over to the other side of the ball, New England's offense. So we talked about Hunter Henry, also Jonnu Smith, not to mention also Jacoby Myers and Devontae Parker. Those deep are wide receivers for New England. And, of course, with Ramondre Stevenson at the running back position. We know Chicago, that franchise for decades has been built on defense. And, of course, we know about Roquan Smith, also Robert Quinn, and also Eddie Jackson, just to name a few. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for New England's offense to score points against the Bears' defense?
Yeah, I mean, the Bears' defense has always been pretty good. They're not very good this year. They're okay, They're not very good this year. And so the Patriots should be able to kind of do what they want. Now, again, that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy for them necessarily, but they should be able to run the ball. They should be able to pass the ball when they want to. So I expect them to be able to score points against the Bears. I'm not necessarily super concerned about it. I think the big thing for them is, what are you trying to get out of this? To me, it comes back to the quarterback question. What are you trying to get out of this game? Do you want to see if Bailey Zappe has it? And if he does have it, okay, are you saying, all right, well, maybe he has it, and if he does, then we're going to be able to give him more. So maybe you're going to open this game up and throw less. But I think what's probably going to happen is that you're going to do what you've done the last few games, which is run to set up the pass. They've done a great job running the ball, which has allowed them to be able to run some solid play-action fakes. And we saw the touchdown pass to Hunter Henry all by himself because everyone was expecting a run. It was a really nice call. So, but when you're able to run the ball effectively, you're able to run those plays. And so I would expect them to run to set up the pass again this week. And I don't think they're going to have a particularly hard time doing it against the Chicago Bears defense.
All right, and that's the New England Patriots going up against the Chicago Bears at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts on Monday Night Football. And you heard it from him. He's Pat Lane. He is the co-host of the Patriot Nation podcast, and he's also a writer for Pat's Pulpit, which is powered by SB Nation. Pat, again, thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Just tell everybody about the Patriot Nation podcast and also Pat's Pulpit.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, we do a show every week. Actually, we do an instant reaction show after the games, but on Sundays typically. And then we do another live show during the week, typically on Wednesday or Thursday nights, live on YouTube, and then it gets released on the podcast feed at Pat's Pulpit. And you can always read me at Pat's Pulpit. I'm on Twitter at @PLane_Pats. I'm always willing to talk to Patriots or football or Marvel or whatever, really whatever. So, but yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Enjoy coming on, and hopefully the Patriots get a big win on Monday Night Football.
Thank you so much again for being on the program. Now, one more time, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as Patriots Nation and Pat's Pulpit and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, so it's just patspulpit.com, and then Pat's Pulpit is at Pat's Pulpit on Twitter. Pulpit like the like something that a priest would speak at. And then I'm at @PLane_Pat on Twitter. So
before I let you go, Pat, we know that food is a part of the game experience, and the NFL is no exception to the rule. So when you're at a Patriots game, what are some of the foods that you enjoy eating?
Well, that's a great question. All right, so I have season tickets to the Patriots. So when we tailgate, we always start with kielbasa every time, always start with kielbasa. So it's what we do. It's just like our thing. And then it's just meat heavy, man. We go into some chicken, maybe some wings. Maybe we get some steak tips. Maybe a little bit of pork. So, you know, it varies from week to week, but it's very meat heavy. A lot of times we'll do like a shrimp cocktail as an appetizer, but yeah, a lot of meat, heavy on the meat is really what we go. And then we finish the night, with Cheez-Its on the ride home.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. And you heard it from him. He's Pat Lane. He is the co-host of the Patriot Nation podcast and also a writer for Pat's Pulpit, which is a website powered by SB Nation. Those and the website cover the New England Patriots. Thanks again, Pat. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Anytime.
No problem. We'll be back with more right after this.
They're on the move. Zappi's got the ball. Cannon the block. Touchdown! Caught in the back right there. A two-yard grab by the rookie, Tyquan Thornton, third and one. And he's right on the screws, and here they go. And that is a touchdown. Hunter Henry, wide open.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
The world is always on, but you shouldn't be. Put junk sleep to bed. During Mattress Firm's Sleeping Spree event, save up to 50% on Sealy, with queen mattresses starting at $349.99. Only at Mattress Firm. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Sure, we have 30 seconds to tell you that drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. But then what? Well, radio has been called theater of the mind, so let's tell a story with sound effects. Wow, it's like I was in the story. Almost makes me forget this was supposed to be about saving big with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Women's Cancer Pavilion specializes in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. Working together with Mary Bird Perkins and Our Lady of the Lake Health and the region's leading providers to deliver the best possible outcome is at the heart of everything we do. From innovative surgical techniques to the most advanced treatment options, we don't stop until we've examined every possibility and answered every question. Because walking with women through every step of their cancer journey is what we do all day, every day at Women's Cancer Pavilion.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Sure, we have 30 seconds to tell you that drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. But then what? Well, radio has been called theater of the mind, so let's tell a story with sound effects. Wow, it's like I was in the story. Almost makes me forget this was supposed to be about saving big with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Sure, we have 30 seconds to tell you that drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. But then what? Well, there is a nice piece of stock music playing behind me that a talented composer worked really hard on. So let's enjoy it. Wow, almost overshadows the saving big when you switch to Progressive part. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The greater the risk, the greater the reward. Or so the saying goes. But if you're a farmer like me, you'd much rather have your rewards without the risk. Well, thankfully, with True Choice, you can save up to 10% on hundreds of the leading crop protection products from Corteva Agriscience. And the best part, no strings attached, no hassle, no hoops to jump through. Just a better way to buy crop protection products. If you're tired of risky rewards programs, see what you're missing at Corteva.us/TrueChoice.
Where can you plant Pioneer brand Qrome products? Just about everywhere. Your most productive acres? Yes. Your toughest? Yes. Dry soil? Wet soil? Clay soil? Sandy soil? Yes, 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 and you bet. Top of the hill? Side of the hill? Bottom of the hill? Over the hill? All the above. There's a Pioneer brand Qrome product for corn that can meet or exceed your yield goal on every acre. Pioneer brand Qrome products. Field proven and ready for yours.
Dale un toque de otoño a tu closet con JCPenney. Con hasta 40% de descuento en suéteres, jeans y accesorios para él y ella. Y espera, porque tenemos más estilos y opciones para ti. Encuentra jeans acampanados, el clásico pantalón negro, abrigos y blazers. Mezcla y combina nuestras versátiles marcas como St. John's Bay, Mutual Weave, A&A y más. Compra con estilo. JCPenney. Oferta válida hasta el 25 de octubre en selección de estilos. Aplican inscripciones. Detalles en la tienda jcp.com.
I'm in an area called trade integration at Pioneer. So what's the trade being integrated? The Enlist E3 trade for soybeans. And what's it being integrated with? Ah, that's the big news. The Enlist E3 trade is now integrated with Pioneer's own exclusive and elite genetics. They're called Pioneer Brand A-Series Enlist E3 soybeans. and there are no other soybeans like it on the market. Pioneer brand A-Series Enlist E3 soybeans, like no other.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Sure, we have 30 seconds to tell you that drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. But then what? Well, there is a nice piece of stock music playing behind me that a talented composer worked really hard on. So let's enjoy it. Wow, almost overshadows the saving big when you switch to Progressive part. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Sure, we have 30 seconds to tell you that drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. But then what? Well, radio has been called theater of the mind, so let's tell a story with sound effects. Wow, it's like I was in the story. Almost makes me forget this was supposed to be about saving big with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Pat Lane, co-host of the Patriot Nation podcast. And he's also a writer for Pat's Pulpit, which is a website powered by SB Nation. The Patriot Nation podcast is dedicated to covering the NFL's New England Patriots. Again, once again, a big special thank you to Pat for giving us all of the insights on what's currently going on with the New England Patriots. All right, let's do this. It's now time for Week 7 in the National Football League. We have the Thursday night matchup between the New Orleans Saints going up against the Arizona Cardinals. First for the Cardinals, they're going through tough times right now in the desert. They lost a tough game to their NFC West rival, Seattle Seahawks. Kyler Murray was looking for answers from the offense, didn't get much. Running for his life in this game, Seattle's defense put pressure on the Cardinals. And then the week before that, they lost a tough game to the Philadelphia Eagles. But they got help during the week acquiring Robbie Anderson, wide receiver, in a trade with the Carolina Panthers. So not only will Kyler Murray get help on the wide receiver side from Robbie Anderson, but also DeAndre Hopkins is expected to return for this game. So the Cardinals are going to have wide receiver help in the absence. Of course, if you heard about Hollywood Brown, most likely out for the season with a devastating injury. So while the Cardinals is trying to find their place, not just in the league, but mainly in their division, the New Orleans Saints are looking for answers. The Saints lost a tough game last week to the Cincinnati Bengals. It was revealed through media outlets that Andy Dalton suffered a back injury in the loss to the Bengals, so he's questionable for the Thursday night game. Jameis Winston is still trying to lick his wounds from back and ankle injuries. Of course, you know about him having the 4 fractures in his back. So in the event if Andy Dalton cannot go, Taysom Hill may be the starter for this game. It's going to be interesting how the Saints play this in the quarterback position, but not just problems at the quarterback position, but injuries have been really a bugaboo for the Saints in this early part of the NFL season. Jarvis Landry did not practice. Michael Thomas did not practice. Andres Pete is battling a chest injury. It was the same pectoral muscle that he tore last season. However, a bright spot for the Saints, Chris Olave is expected to play in the Thursday night game against the Arizona Cardinals. So it's going to be, I call it desperation in the desert between the New Orleans Saints and the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals have a lot of vision with the 49ers, the Rams, and the Seahawks. The Saints are trying to fight for supremacy, not just in the NFC South, but just in all of the NFL. So it's a lot of question marks with both franchises. Both teams are battling injuries. I guess the Cardinals would kind of have the slight edge in this game because, remember, They acquired Robbie Anderson in a trade earlier in the week. And then DeAndre Hopkins is expected to be back for this game. And let's not forget, the Cardinals have a running back with Zach Ertz, a tight end with Zach Ertz, and at the running back position, James Conner. So Saints Cardinals expect a lot of offense in this game. The Saints defense hasn't been good really at all much of the year. Tyrann Mathieu, I don't know what's going on with him. Secondary not looking good. Marshawn Lattimore may play in this game. We'll have to see. But New Orleans and Arizona, I call it the desperation in the desert. This is going to be an interesting game. We have the Atlanta Falcons going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. First, for the Dirty Birds, the Falcons came in and beat the San Francisco 49ers last week in an upset victory, 28-14. Marcus Mariota playing nicely in his first year as the starting quarterback for the Falcons. And again, Cordarrelle Patterson may play in this game. We don't know, but I know one thing's for sure. The Atlanta Falcons played a nice game beating the San Francisco 49ers last week. As for the Cincinnati Bengals, of course, an impressive come-behind victory over the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans at the Caesar Superdome. Joe Burrow, he's like a Timex watch. He takes a licking, and he just keeps on ticking. Again, that team, the Bengals, spent a lot of money during the offseason getting an offensive line. Still the same results. Joe is still getting beat up pretty badly, but he gets right back up and was able to get right back up and throw the touchdown pass to Ja'Marr Chase to give the Bengals a victory over the Saints last week. So we got the Falcons and the Bengals. Expect Atlanta to try to use a lot of Marcus Mariota. Again, Cordarrelle Patterson, his status is questionable for this game, but regardless, Mariota will get it done both with his arm and his legs. As for Cincinnati, you know the typical drill. A lot of Joe Burrow, a lot of Joe Mixon, a lot of Ja'Marr Chase, also a lot of Tyler Boyd, a lot of T. Higgins as well. And Cincinnati's defense is really good, especially their rush defense. So the Falcons and the Bengals are going to be a really good game in Cincinnati. We have the New York Giants going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. First for the Giants, they're on a roll right now, 5-1. The New York Giants, 5-1, believe it. Daniel Jones has been solid. Saquon Barkley's played well. That Giants defense has been solid. The Giants picked up a big win over Lamar Jackson in the Baltimore Ravens last week. And as for the Jacksonville Jaguars, losing a tough game to their division rival in the AFC South, the Indianapolis Colts. But the future is bright in Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence, they're building on something. Of course, Trevor Lawrence has played so well so far this early part of the year. Travis Etienne doing well. James Robinson has been such an underrated back in such a short amount of time in the league. Christian Kirk has played nice for Jacksonville. Their defense is solid. This is going to be a good game down in North Florida between the New York Giants and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. We know we're going to see a lot of the running backs play big in this one with Saquon Barkley, Travis Etienne, James Robinson, Giants and Jaguars. This is going to be a fun one. My next most important game for Week 7 is going to be the Green Bay Packers against the Washington Commanders. Times right now were upset by the New York Jets last week, and then also the Packers losing a tough one the week before that in London to the New York Giants. All sorts of questions going on. During the week, quarterback Aaron Rodgers said that if Matt LaFleur could simplify the offense, maybe they can get more plays done. Coach LaFleur, when Coach LaFleur was asked about what Aaron had said, he just was kind of like, I didn't hear that one. So maybe a little trouble going on up in Dairyland in the great state of Wisconsin. But the Packers, I don't know. I'm not concerned about them just yet. Not just yet. I don't know if Aaron hasn't told any of the fans in Green Bay to relax. He hasn't told them to relax yet. But he hasn't told them that yet. I'm sure he may have to tell them that if they don't get results done, as they head to Landover, Maryland in the DMV to take on the Washington Commanders. First for the Commanders, they won last Thursday night beating the Chicago Bears. And not a great performance, but a win is a win, and you take it. Carson Wentz had surgery on his finger. He's expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So Taylor Heinicke will be the starting quarterback for this game against the Packers. Taylor Heinicke, 2 years ago, took the Washington football team to a wild card playoff game, almost beat Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But Taylor Heinicke's got some skills. And one thing about Taylor, he's got a strong arm. He can get the ball to scary Terry McLaurin. He can get the ball to a Josh Dotson. He can get the ball not just to Antonio Gibson. He can also get the ball to the other running back, and that's J.D. McKissic. Brian Robinson scored his first touchdown of the season last week against the Bears. Expect a lot out of Brian Robinson. Also, too, Curtis Samuel. Expect a lot of Curtis Samuel in this game. And Washington's defense played well last week against the Chicago Bears. I think Washington's defense will get to Aaron Rodgers. They'll disrupt that offense that Green Bay's been desperately trying to get in rhythm since the beginning of the year. But Green Bay and Washington, a lot of Packer fans in the DMV, but a lot of Commanders fans will definitely be at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Next most important game that I picked for Week 7 is the New York Jets against the Denver Broncos. First for the Denver Broncos, this has been a disappointing season. Russell Wilson, he's not cooking. He's been doing more of a DoorDash, Grubhub, and a Uber Eats. I don't know what's going on, but whatever they've been trying to cook, the food is not good at all. Nathaniel Hackett ought to be ashamed of himself. The play calling has been atrocious. The only bright spot for Denver so far this year is the defense. Denver has a top 10 defense so far in this early part of the year. That defense is going to be tested against the New York Jets as that offense and just that Jets team make their way to the Mile High City. Zach Wilson, he's been solid since coming back from injury. How about Breece Hall? Breece Hall is definitely a candidate for Rookie of the Year. If he can stay healthy, expect Breece to get some consideration as we move along towards the season. Corey Davis has been good. Tyler Conklin has been good. C.J. Uzama has been good. Garrett Wilson's been good as well. But I'm really loving the Jet defense. Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley, Quinnen Williams, John Franklin Myers, and Sheldon Rankins, just to name a few. Sauce Gardner, he's been effective as well. Sauce talked a lot of trash at the end of the Packer game wearing one of the cheesehead hats at Lambeau Field. And the Jets are riding a high right now while the Broncos are riding very low. And as Russell Wilson said, go Broncos, let's ride. Well, they haven't been riding anything but the pine so far this year. And this is a must-win game for the Broncos. If they don't get it done, the Boo Birds are going to continue at Mile High Stadium. So the Jets will continue to fly high, and they'll continue to fly high as they try to get a victory over the Denver Broncos in the Mile High City of Denver. Kansas City Chiefs against the San Francisco 49ers. First for the Chiefs, devastating win over Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, and the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs team, it's a prideful team, and I know they're going to come ready as they head to the West Coast in Santa Clara, California, to play the San Francisco 49ers. For the 49ers, we talked about the Chiefs losing a tough one. The 49ers, let's just keep it real. They got embarrassed last week by the Atlanta Falcons. And I know one thing's for sure. Kyle Shanahan, he's not standing for that. Jimmy Garoppolo, not standing for that. George Kittle and the rest of the crew, not standing for that. The 49ers, they've got a lot of injuries. But if you know anything about Frisco, you know that they're battle-tested. They're ready to go. They got the right personnel. They got Debo Samuel. They've got Jeff Wilson, who can run the ball. They're going to be ready out on the West Coast with the Chiefs and the 49ers. Sunday Night Football is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Miami Dolphins. First for Miami, Tua Tagovailoa has been cleared. He's expected to play in this game. I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I think maybe one more week he needs to sit out, but I understand the importance of this game. Sunday Night Football under the bright lights, a worldwide audience. So I kind of understand that. But nevertheless, Tua has been cleared, and he's going to be ready to go on Sunday Night Football for the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. You know the crew for Miami. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh had a tough win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was a close game. Kenny Pickett suffered a concussion in this game. I think he's questionable for this game. Mitch Trubisky may get the start. So it's going to be a tough game with the Steelers and the Dolphins. Chase Claypool has been on talks of possibly maybe being traded to the Green Bay Packers. We don't know how that's going to work out, but nevertheless, Chase Claypool is still a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Pittsburgh and Miami, this is going to be a fun one. The Dolphins haven't had a Sunday night game in a minute. It's been a long time. And I guess it goes to show you because they haven't really been winning, but it's nice to see Miami get Sunday night exposure. It's fun, and it's going to be a good one between the Steelers and the Dolphins. Monday Night Football, the Chicago Bears will square off against the New England Patriots. First for the Bears. Offensively, horrible. Just not there at all. They had several chances towards the end of the game last Thursday night to beat the Washington Commanders. The wide receivers failed Justin Fields in the red zone, and we know how that turned out. The Bears would wind up losing to the Commanders. As far as Chicago is concerned, running game and defense are good. Well, I won't say good. Defense is good. Running game, when it gets hot, watch out. But unfortunately, they're going to need more than that because they're going up against a red-hot New England Patriots team that had a big win over the Cleveland Browns last week. And there's somewhat of a quarterback controversy up in New England, Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones. We know Mac Jones is expected to be the franchise quarterback, but Bailey Zappe has looked really good so far for the Patriots, so that's something we'll have to keep our eyes on. But right now, Chicago and New England, a rematch of Super Bowl 20, Bears and Patriots. This is not Jim McMahon going up against Steve Grogan, but this is going to be Justin Fields going up against most likely is going to be Bailey Zappe, but it's going to be a fun game up in Foxborough, Massachusetts, in Gillette Stadium with Chicago and New England Bears-Patriots on Monday night. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs going up against the San Francisco 49ers. This game is a rematch of the Super Bowl from 2 years ago. If you remember this game, you remember this game being filled with drama. You had a team that was balanced on the offensive side with more of an emphasis on the running game and defense against a team that is known for their high-powered offense. These two teams are polar opposite, but this is the matchup we've been waiting 2 years for, and I think this is going to live up to the hype. Mahomes, you know what type of player he's all about. He's all about stats, numbers, and putting up touchdowns. Meanwhile, Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy is just your blue-collar, working-class quarterback. Solid arm, doesn't need the numbers, just gets the job done, and he's about his business. San Francisco, power running game. You can't forget about, when you talk about a power player, a unique player, Deebo Samuel. We talk about impact players and being unique for their positions. Travis Kelce. Very fast at the tight end position. San Francisco, an explosive defense, a hard-hitting defense. Kansas City, not big on the defensive side, but they've got a few playmakers with the likes of Chris Jones, Lajarius Sneed, and also Frank Clark, just to name a few. 49ers, these teams could not be more polar opposite, but hey, as they say, styles make fights, and this fight is going to be a good one. The Kansas City Chiefs versus the San Francisco 49ers, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I want to give you my picks on who I think will win the most important games for Week 7 in the NFL. Thursday night football between the New Orleans Saints and the Arizona Cardinals. I like Arizona to win. The Atlanta Falcons going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. I like Cincinnati to win that game. The New York Giants going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I like the Giants to win that one. The Green Bay Packers squaring off against the Washington Commanders. I'm going to go for the Commanders to beat the Packers. The New York Jets going up against the Denver Broncos. Denver's struggles will continue. I like the Jets to win. The Kansas City Chiefs going up against the San Francisco 49ers. I like the 49ers to beat the Chiefs. Sunday Night Football, the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Miami Dolphins to win that one. And on Monday Night Football, the Chicago Bears going up against the New England Patriots. I like New England to beat Chicago. So one more time, my picks for my winners, I should say, for the most important games for Week 7 are Arizona, Cincinnati, New York Giants, Washington, New York Jets, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and New England. And there you have it. Those are my winners for Week 7's most important games. Once again, I'd like to send a big special thank you to Pat Lane, the co-host of the Patriots Nation podcast and the writer for Pat's Pulpit, which is powered by SB Nation. Those outlets are dedicated to covering New England Patriots content. Once again, big special thank you to Pat Lane. And a big special thank you to you, the listeners out there, for another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. Until next week, everybody, this is Ed Robinson saying so long, everyone.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.